The branch has spoken. The branch has spoken. The branch is the ultimate authority at the branch level. The people assembled at the branch meeting are the ultimate authority. They outrank the president. They obviously outrank the secretary. They outrank everybody at the branch level. So when the branch speaks, that's it. It is settled. That is the will of the branch. And the branch officers are there to serve the will of the branch. Now, with that out of the way, guys, I gotta play for you our new intro music. It comes from Ryan Morgan out of Boise, Idaho. He reached out to me, asked me if I'd like theme music, and yeah, sure, I'd like theme music. And so he gave a first draft, and we kind of worked together on some feedback, and I gave him some suggestions. And what he came up with is an absolute banger. I am so happy with it. So you are about to hear it for the first time as we go welcome to Classes of Mail. Here it comes. Oh my God, it's so good. Oh, dude, thank you so much for sending that in. I absolutely love my new theme music. Dude, it kicks ass. It gets me fired up. I can't get enough of it. I absolutely love listening to it. So that is going to be the new standard music for Classes of Mail. When you hear that, you'll know it's time to get your learn on. All right, so getting back to the topic at hand. My branch, Branch 2502 in Las Vegas, spoke at the January meeting. We made a decision as a branch what we were going to do about our elections. You know, first, I had appealed the initial results of the election. I appealed to the election committee. And I said, hey, we got to rerun this whole thing all the way from the beginning. Then the executive board and the election committee agreed. Then the executive board, headed by our branch president, says, no, I think we should actually only redo the voting. And of course, the executive board agreed. And so that appeal is then sustained. But then I take my appeal to the branch itself, the ultimate authority. And I say, hey, we have problems here. Problems which you can hear about on previous issue episodes of Classes of Mail. We have problems here. And we need to run this election all the way back from the beginning. And the branch agreed. The branch spoke. We voted 52-23. A supermajority of carriers voted that, yes, we should run these elections all the way back from the beginning. That was the will of the branch. So, at the February meeting, we get to hear from four different members of our executive board who are appealing the will of the branch to the National Committee on Appeals. So they're saying the branch got it wrong. The branch blew it and they made the wrong decision. We should not go all the way back to nominations. We should only do the voting. So they put in their appeals. Their appeals get read in front of the branch. And then before this whole, everything from there gets packaged up and it goes in writing with, you know, paper documentation up to the National Committee on Appeals. But before that happens, something very important also happens. Because remember, the branch has spoken. And so in addition to these four appeals who are trying to overturn the will of the branch, in addition to those getting packaged up and sent to National, the branch gets to reply. The branch has 20 days to formulate a written reply so that that can be included along with these appeals going up to National. With the obvious idea being that National needs to hear both sides of the story. Well, why did the branch decide this way? Why did the branch vote this way? And that's what the branch's reply is for. So the question has been hanging out, who writes the branch's reply? And this came up on previous episode of Classes of Mail because it came up at that meeting, that our branch president decided that he would write the branch's reply. Because, to quote him, I'm the president, I speak for the branch. Okay, I guess that's true, you do speak for the branch, but I don't feel like in this situation, you're the best qualified person to do this, because it was his appeal that the branch voted to overturn. The branch specifically said, no, you're wrong, and now he's supposed to speak for the branch? So that, I did not like that. If you go back and listen to that branch meeting episode, it was one of the big problems that I had with what went down at that meeting was like, dude, I don't trust this guy to espouse the will of the branch and to describe and advocate for what the branch wants. I mean, and that's really, that is a damning indictment of a branch president to say that I don't trust him to advocate for the will, the expressed will of his members. But that's where we are. And that is the way I feel. I don't believe that he's going to advocate for the expressed will of his members, even though he said specifically that he was going to do it, that I'm the president, I speak for the branch, I'll write the reply. So I wrote my own reply and hoped that I could send it to the National Committee on Appeals so that at least the branch's side would be advocated for, because I'm the one who wrote the appeal that the branch sustained. So I'm very familiar with the arguments that the branch felt were compelling. But is my appeal going to be accepted? Well, that's the question. In fact, there's two questions. Question number one, is my appeal going to be accepted when it gets received by the National Committee on Appeals? And number two, what did my branch president actually write for the branch reply? So it occurred to me that because the president is speaking for the branch, that I probably have a right to see what he wrote. In fact, I definitely have a right to see what he wrote. So who has these copies? I went to the branch secretary and I said, hey, goodest oldest boy, do you have, or has the president even done this? You know, because we were getting very close to this 20-day deadline for the branch to do their reply. And I said, has he even done this? Because, you know, we're getting close to this deadline. And the branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, replied that yes, the president had done it. But there was an important caveat that he needed to let me know. He writes, and I quote, the appeals and the branch reply has been sent to the Committee on Appeals. By the way, the branch appeal, he means the branch reply. The branch reply is just a chronological review as to what has occurred from the beginning. No judgment one way or the other. End quote. No judgment? The branch made a fucking judgment. The branch voted 52-23 to have a judgment, and this is supposed to be representing what the branch feels. What the hell is this? That it's only a timeline of events, a chronological review with no judgment one way or the other. This damn appeal or this reply better have judgment in it. So I write back. That doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of representing the branch's viewpoint on the appeal. Please send me a copy. And I give him the email. And the goodest oldest boy replies, quote, the branch does not have a viewpoint, since some members feel one way and others feel a different way. Yeah. And so I reply, the branch voted to express its viewpoint in the January meeting, 52-23. Please send me a copy of what you think constitutes the branch's reply. And he was not willing to do that. He said that I had to get my copy directly from the branch president. So here we have, now we seem to know what's happening, is that this reply is a sham, that it is not going to advocate for the branch's position, even though that's exactly what it is supposed to do. Our president, who tasked himself with speaking for the branch, according to the branch secretary, he's not going to do that. He's just going to put like a neutral timeline of events. So I do as the branch secretary suggests. I contact the president and I ask to see what he has written. And he doesn't reply. So I reach out to see if I can get my hands on the draft and or what he wrote another way. And eventually, to his credit, later on, he did send me a 177-page PDF. And in that 177 pages, it turns out that that was the entirety of what got sent up to National for the Committee on Appeals. And so now I have to start digging through this, trying to find the branch's reply that is apparently just a timeline, but is supposed to advocate for the branch's position. And so I'm digging through here, and I see something that's written by the branch president, but I'm like, well, that can't be it, because that's, A, doesn't advocate for the branch's position, which I did not expect anyway, but B, it's also not just a timeline. This has arguments in it. And then I see at the bottom where it signs off, like, this is the branch's reply, and oh my God, this is how he advocated for the branch's position. So guys, let's think about where this started. The branch has spoken. The branch has made its position known. The branch voted 52-23. Then you have these four appeals, which we said at the time, you know, they probably had four people who weren't the president make these appeals so that the president could do the branch reply and throw the branch under the bus and make sure that National never saw the branch's half of this argument. And that's exactly what happened. That is precisely what happened. The branch that this president is supposed to be representing got screwed, got shafted, got not represented, got the opposite of represented. And I'm going to read to you what this branch president wrote that was supposed to be an advocating letter for the members of his branch that he's there to represent. Lest you think I'm not fair, I am going to read this as written so that you can make your own judgment. But the judgment, I think, is not going to be difficult. And in order to distinguish what he has written from what I am commenting, I am going to read what he has written with reverb. Yeah, this new soundboard has a reverb button, and so I'll push that button. I try to get it right every time, but I'm going to do my best. All right, here we go. Dear Chairperson, on October 2nd, 2024, oh, and don't worry, this isn't that long. It's three pages in total, but a lot of the page is taken up with other crap, so it's not going to be that long. On October 2nd, 2024, Branch 2502 held their nomination process for the upcoming election. The nomination process was completed and the election process began. An election committee was formed, but halfway through the process, the chairperson resigned. A new chairperson took over the election at that time and conducted the election. The results of the election were reported to the branch membership on November 6, 2024. Hey, look at that. So far, the goodest oldest boy is correct. This is just a timeline of events. So while it is not yet advocating for the branch's position, well, at least it's neutral. So we got that going for us. Let's keep reading. An appeal to the Branch 2502 elections was submitted to the Elections Board dated November 7th, 2024 by Michael Brazemley and Alan Gigax. There was also a third member of our crew, but I don't necessarily need to drag him into this. It doesn't change the outcome, so I'm just going to leave his name out. So again, an appeal was made, submitted to the Elections Board on November 7th by Michael Brazemley and Alan Gigax, members of Branch 2502. It was mailed via express mail to the Branch 2502 Elections Board and was received on November 9th, 2024. On November 13th, 2024, the chairperson of the election committee redacted. So I'm going to redact every name in here that I can. This chairperson that he's talking about is not the one who we filed charges against. He's the one who had to step in when that dude resigned. So getting back to it. The chairperson of the election committee sent an email to Branch 2502 secretary, goodest oldest boy, with the decision of the election committee on the appeal received. The election committee chairperson sent out an email and or text to the committee members to vote on one of three choices. The choice they selected was to rerun the election again and to include the nomination process. Okay, so again, so far all of this is true. And I would like to point out that the rationale of the election committee is not included in here. That will be relevant in just a moment. The decision of the election committee was appealed to the branch executive board by Brother Branch President. The executive board met on November 7th, 2024. They reviewed the decision made by the election committee. After discussion, a vote was taken and passed by the board with one objection to redo only the election process but not the nomination process. The executive board's decision was made based on the arguments of the original appeal by brothers Brazen Lee and Gygax. They argued that the nomination process was an error because, okay, so here he's actually going to talk about my argument, but then he's going to say why the argument is wrong. Because in this portion of his letter, which takes up the bulk of the letter, this is like most of page two of this letter, is his explanation of the executive board's decision, also known as his decision, also known as the appeal that the branch overturned when the branch spoke. So here we go. One, the notice of nominations and election was not placed on the front page of the branch newsletter. This argument was rejected by the executive board due to the fact that Branch 2502 does not have a branch newsletter. As has been done during the past 30 years, to my knowledge, the notice was placed in the Nevada State newsletter. As this is a state newsletter, Branch 2502 has no control over the placement of any articles or ads placed in the state newsletter. So here you go. That's him advocating for his position. And of course, I've gone into why I believe that position is mistaken, and the branch agreed with me. But here he is making this argument. Two, the notice failed to note that certain officers would be automatic convention delegates by virtue of their office. The executive board felt that this error did not affect the nomination process, as those individuals running for those positions were able to be nominated and no aggrieved members came forward. So again, he's saying why what the branch thinks is wrong and why what he thinks is right. And, you know, this argument, like, there's not a lot of point in relitigating this right now, but I'm going to mention this anyway because it comes up a few times in this letter. Some of these things that have to be complained about, you can't complain about it until after the election is completed. There is no process in the election book for appealing the conduct of the election while the election is ongoing. It needs to be appealed after the election concludes, which is what we did. All right, moving on. Three, the appeal stated that one member was not able to be nominated because he was not present at the meeting and had sent a letter to the branch stating he would accept the position if nominated. However, he failed to notify the branch if he had served in management within the past 24 months. His letter was rejected by the branch president due to that error. No one at the meeting objected to that decision, nor did the member appeal that decision within the time frames allowed. The executive board, having no appeal from the member, rejected the argument of the appeal. So there you go. There is another argument in this letter that is supposed to be representing the branch's position. Four, the remainder of the original appeal listed errors that occurred during the election process. That part of their appeal was accepted by the executive board, and the board agreed that a new election should be held, but again rejected the redoing of the nomination process. Five, brothers Brazen Lee and Gygax are again not aggrieved in this situation as they were nominated and accepted their nominations. Okay, so he has now laid out the executive board's decision. So we already have quite a deviation from what the goodest oldest boy said, that this was just going to be a chronological listing of events. Because here we have all of this argument. The good news is that my appeal to the branch is coming up next. And maybe if the branch president is being fair and just doing a neutral, you know, telling of events, maybe he'll also just say like, oh, and then the branch did this and this is their decision. Do you think that's what he's going to do? Or do you think he's going to continue to add? Well, let's just get to it. Because the next part where he talks about what the branch wants is very short. An appeal was presented by member Alan Gygax to the branch membership at the January 9, 2025 general meeting. Brother Gygax, citing the objections of his original appeal that, one, notice was not in our branch newsletter. And then in parentheses, he writes, again, we do not have a branch newsletter. So here he is, A, doing a straw man of my argument. I didn't say that the problem was that it wasn't in our branch newsletter. The problem is that it wasn't on the front page. So he makes a straw man of my argument and then knocks it down. The argument that the branch sustained. So in this letter that is supposed to be representing my branch's position, he writes the argument that was presented to the branch and says why it's wrong. Does that represent the branch? This is the exact opposite of representing the branch. The goddamn president is doing the exact opposite of what he is tasked to do and what he said he would do in writing the branch's reply. Moving on. Two, one member not being able to be nominated. Again, in parentheses, again, that member did not appeal the decision of the branch president. So here again, he's saying what the argument was in front of the branch, the argument that the branch found compelling, and saying why it's wrong. And three, not putting in the notice that certain officers were automatic delegates to the convention. Again, no aggrieved members came forward. He presented a motion to rerun the nomination process along with rerunning the election. Okay, now this may be the most egregious part of all. Because he goes on to write, the chair cited that the executive board had agreed to rerun the election. Now, mind you, who's the chair of our meetings? The branch president. So he's saying, I told them. So let me read this again with that so that you know who's saying what. This is him saying, I told them that dot, dot, dot. The chair cited that the executive board had agreed to rerun the election, however, found no reason to rerun the nomination process as no aggrieved member submitted an appeal. Dude. So that's it. That's all we get for the branch's position. It is three sentences. Three sentences, all of which are contradicted in the text. And then he goes on to put his own position in there again. The members present voted to override the decision of the executive board and order the rerun of the entire election process, including nomination. Now, what he conveniently neglects to mention is that the branch also voted that we need to have somebody from National oversee our election. And that is not in here. So, moving on to finish this off. At the February 5th, 2025 general meeting, the branch received four appeals to the decision of the branch membership made on January 9th, 2025 general meeting. The four appeals are included and were made by good old boy one, good old boy two, good old boy three, and good old boy number four, who is the goodest oldest boy. This is the branch's response to those appeals. And that is the only way that I knew that this was the branch reply. Because as you can see, he is not espousing the branch's position. Because this dude doesn't care about the branch's position. This dude doesn't care about the will of the branch. And if you need any proof of that, I just spent 10 minutes reading it to you. This is what we're up against, guys. So, I have my hands on this now. I have my hands on this sham of representing the branch and the branch's reply. And thank God I had written my own reply and sent it off to the Committee on Appeals. But now there's still this outstanding question of will the Committee on Appeals accept my reply? So I had written maybe a week earlier another request to Brian Renfro for a presidential ruling. And the day that all this went down, I got the response to the presidential ruling. And yet again, my request is sustained. Check this out. This is in part of some of the stuff that he wrote. There was other stuff in here that I'll get into in a minute, but this is the relevant part to what we're talking about. He writes, Sections 21.43 and 44 of the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures require that the branch prepare a reply to an appeal from a decision of the branch and submit both the appeal and the reply to the committee. The regulations do not specify who was to prepare the branch's reply. Okay, so that was the meat of my question was, hey, the branch president tried to write this, you know, said that he was going to write it. And I don't think that's right because he doesn't agree with the branch. So that was, you know, hey, please clarify who was supposed to write this reply. And so he says the regulations don't specify. And then he goes on. Previous rulings recognize that if the branch president is the party who has appealed the branch's decision to the National Committee, or if the branch president supports the appeal, then he cannot prepare the branch's reply. The reply must be prepared by a member who supports the branch's decision, because the reply represents the position of the branch. And this is fucking obvious to anybody who reads the election rules. And there's no goddamn way that our branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, could read those election rules and think that the branch reply is just supposed to be some neutral listing of events. There is absolutely no honest way to read that and think that that's not a position of advocacy for the branch. But these dishonest motherfuckers going to do anything they can to make sure that they can do an end run around the will of the branch and ignore what the branch actually wants and misrepresent what the branch wants to the National Committee on Appeals. It is disgusting. Let me move on with Renfro's decision, because he just said the reply must be prepared by a member who supports the branch's decision. In such circumstances, any officer who is not supporting the appeal to the committee may prepare the reply. In our case, there were no officers who were supporting the branch. Funny how we have a executive board like that, where none of them are on board with what the branch wants. That is, it's very telling. All right, so moving on. Alternatively, the reply may be submitted by the member or members who submitted the appeal from the executive board decision that was upheld by the branch. Who wrote the appeal that was upheld by the branch? This guy. I wrote it. And so thank God I had written my reply, because I got this on like the last day that the reply could be submitted. And so I had already written and submitted my reply. And then the president goes on to say that the branch could also vote to designate somebody to write it on their behalf. And that's what I suggested at the meeting, and the president shot it down, saying, I'm the president, I'll speak for the branch. Or in this case, I will do an end run around what the branch wants, advocate my own position, and fuck the branch. So, either way, I guess those are all equally good in his mind. So I have this ruling from Renfro that says the president's reply is out of order, and that my reply should be accepted. So, thank goodness for that. And now it's at the Committee on Appeals, and I have to assume that they're going to uphold the branch's decision, because they generally are deferential to the ruling body of the branch, and it was a pretty lopsided vote, and there better be a damn good reason to overturn the will of the branch. And of course, from my perspective, I don't think there is, but it remains to be seen what they have to say. All right, and then we get to the next issue in this presidential ruling, just to get it out of the way while it's in my hand, and that was that I had also taken issue with our branch president unilaterally deciding to delay the elections. And I'm of the belief that, and a lot of us are of this belief, that he is going to try to delay the re-elections all the way till after the next national convention in 2026, like a year and a half from now. So what I had wanted was for Renfro to step in and say, yes, the branch will decide when this is going to happen, or to step in and say, hey, you know, clearly the branch wants it done right away. You can't be just delaying this. But this is what he writes instead. The second issue raised in your email concerns the timing of the rerun election that all parties recognize must be conducted. Your request that I order the branch to conduct an immediate rerun election in accordance with the branch decision that is now under appeal to the committee. As noted in my February 4th letter, the committee may reverse the branch's decision and reinstate the earlier decision of the executive board. That decision called for a rerun without new nominations. Requiring the branch to conduct an immediate rerun might result in the branches incurring the expense of conducting two rerun elections if the current appeal is sustained by the committee. Given the circumstances, I'm declining your request. And that's totally fine by me, because it's reasonable, you know, that yeah, we're already, like, the committee already has our appeals. Let's just see what they say, and then we'll run the election after that. And that's fine. So now, at the meeting, somebody, maybe it'll be me, maybe it'll be somebody else, it doesn't matter, but somebody's going to have to make a motion that, hey, as soon as we get this decision from the Committee on Appeals, that we need to act on it. And whether they decide that we're just going to redo the voting or whether they decide that we're going to redo this all the way from the beginning, we are going to do that post haste, that we are going to get on that. There is no way that we are going to wait until the fall of 2026 to rerun our election. So that we have to look forward to at our next branch meeting. By the way, if you are in Las Vegas, please, please, please come to the next branch meeting. You know, I want everybody to be there. If I could get all 1,500 members of our branch to get into that room, that's what I would want. I want everybody to be there because this affects our branch so deeply, and people's voices should be heard. People have a right to say how they think their branch should be run and what they think the branch should do. Like, the election affects all of us. And so when are we going to rerun that election? You know, there are very important issues coming up at this next branch meeting, and it is incredibly important to me that everybody possible show up to this meeting. So if you're in Las Vegas or if you know anybody in Las Vegas, then, you know, have them come to the meeting or you come to the meeting. All right, so that's that. Now, the last thing, I want to get back to the goodest oldest boy, because he should know better. You know, he writes, let's go back, right? Now that we've read what the branch president actually wrote, let's go back and reread what the goodest oldest boy wrote. He wrote, by the way, the branch appeal is just, and again, he means the branch reply. So I'll just say the branch reply. By the way, the branch reply is just a chronological review as to what has occurred from the beginning. No judgment one way or another. Guys, you heard what was actually written. Did you detect any judgments in there? I feel like I did. I feel like I picked up on some judgments in that reply. I feel like there were judgments in there. Now, does the branch secretary just not know what was in the content of that appeal? Because he likes to pass himself off as a rules guy too, that, oh, I know the rules. I've been doing this for 30 years. I know the way things are supposed to go. But again, how do you read the appeal rules and think that the branch reply is just supposed to be a chronology? And if it is just supposed to be a chronology, well, then how could he read what the president wrote and think that that's an acceptable, neutral chronology with no judgment one way or the other? I think that he does know better. And I think that he's simply being dishonest. He goes on to write, the branch does not have a viewpoint. There's no way, after being a union officer for 30 years, that you think 52 to 23 doesn't represent the branch's viewpoint, especially when that's the question that is at issue. This is what we're up against, guys. And look, this is not unique to Las Vegas. What's happening here is happening at branches all around the country. When I had those guys on from Branch 36 in New York, by the way, they're coming on again, because the number one feedback I got was that interview was not long enough. And I do try to keep them short to a half hour, but we really did need more with them. So they're coming back on. You know, that thing that their branch president is doing of keeping the meetings at 5 o'clock, that's happening all around the country. I was talking to David Grosskopf about it, and he mentioned a number of other branches that are controlled by the good old boys, and they also have their meetings at 5 o'clock. And that is so undemocratic because you eliminate a huge chunk, the overwhelming majority of your membership, from coming to the branch meeting. And of course, these are the same branch leaders that oppose Zoom meetings because why? Because they don't want the word getting out, because they don't want democracy in their union, because they don't want as many people as possible to be informed? I think the answer to those questions is yes, that is exactly why. And surely they wouldn't admit to it, but look at the end result. Look at who shows up. It's, you know, the the people who are already in the Union Hall, also known as the insiders, and some retirees. And that's about it. Because people who are working cannot physically get there, and they're given no other option. So it's time to change. It's time to fix these things. And, you know, I'm lucky. I will say our branch, you know, the corruption that we're seeing in my branch, it is not nearly as bad as some of the branches that I've been hearing about in other places, in other parts of the country. But this process by which we're now starting to hold our own branch leadership accountable, in theory, this can work anywhere. In practice, it can be extremely difficult. It's been difficult for me. Like, I've been mentally, emotionally exhausted. This is actually my second recording of this episode. I recorded it a couple days ago, but my wife was sleeping and I knew I was going to be fired up. And so I toned it down in that episode and I felt like I didn't really give it its due passion. And then I was going to record it again the next day and I was just beat. And then the next day and I was like, I just can't get myself riled up again. But today's the day. Today's the day I get myself riled up again. Guys, this is what we're up against. And I ask you, who's dividing this union? You know, we see in the branch newsletter, or I should say the state newsletter, because we don't have a branch newsletter. In our state newsletter, people are complaining about, you know, the people in positions now are complaining about social media and how the people on social media are dividing the membership. Well, here we have a great example of the branch was made their voice known. The branch had a voice. The branch used their voice. And then the people in power disregarded that voice, threw that voice away, threw the votes of those branch members away, and inserted their own voice instead. And that's where that episode, the democratization of information, this is what I'm talking about. That I don't think I'm the one dividing this union. I think I'm the one trying to get us to abide by the bylaws. And that's stuff that we've all agreed on. And that's a uniting force. That's accountability. And I am not going to just shut the fuck up and keep these problems to myself. They've been brought to the attention of the people in power in our branch, and you see the result. So we're going to keep on keeping on. In the not too distant future, you will have an episode where we will talk about what happened at the branch meeting. Maybe it'll be a victory lap. Maybe it will be a sorrowful lick our wounds and regroup and figure out what we're going to do next. I don't know. I mean, I sure as hell never saw coming what happened at the last branch meeting where we got railroaded. So who knows what'll happen? You know, I will tell you that if, hypothetically, 1,000 people came to this branch meeting and they voted to support the president's agenda, and, you know, who cares about the election? We'll run it in a year and a half. And that's what the branch decides. Okay, that's the will of the branch. And I don't feel like I have the moral authority to override the will of the branch, just like I don't have the moral authority to override the bylaws. And that's one of the ways that I am different from our current branch president, because you saw where he thinks his moral authority is as it relates to the will of the branch. That ain't me, guys. I'm here for all of us. I want all of us to be empowered. I want all of us to be informed. I'm going to keep fighting a good fight, and I am going to check out and let you guys listen to that awesome jam again. So thank you all for listening, and I will catch you next time. Oh, and I'm going to play it all the way to the label this time because it deserves it.